Good morning, Conqueror Sunday School class. This is Brother Ray Shutt, and I'm so glad to be back with you again this morning for our next lesson in the Assurance Launchpad for Righteous Living series. Today is lesson number 4, and it is entitled Walking in Obedience and Love. We're going to turn to the scriptures found in 1 John chapter number 2, verses 3 through 11. Today's lesson thought can be summed up in this one simple statement. Truly born-again children of God will obey God's word and love God's people. Today's lesson theme verse is found in this passage of Scripture written by the Apostle John, which said, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." That's in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6. Last week, we learned that sin is the enemy of fellowship with God as well as with other born-again believers. In the lesson today, John is going to show us how the proof of our claim to know Christ is actually demonstrated in our daily walk as born-again children of God. You see, our daily walk tells folks exactly what is in our hearts. Now, you think about that just a moment. John desired every person who names the name of Christ to prove, not only to the world, but to each other as Christians, that they really do know Christ. I heard an interesting statement one day that illustrates the thought that John is trying to make here to his readers. You see, our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Let me say that one more time. Our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. And our walk in Christ proves more to those around us than what any amount of talk could ever prove, folks. If we know Christ, then we will know how to walk and to talk and to act and to do because of His sweet Holy Spirit that lives within us. If a person does not know Christ, then they cannot know how to walk or to talk, or to act, or to do those things which are pleasing to God, because His sweet Holy Spirit does not abide within them. That's as simple as it is, folks. And sad to say, for many Christians who are truly born again, but who are living continually in a constant state of disobedience toward God and to His perfect will for their lives from day to day, they actually resemble a lost man more than they do a saved man. But John wanted his readers to understand just how important it was in his day and for us as well in our day to walk in obedience and love. Why? So that the world would know that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. Now, in our lesson this morning, we're going to see how that John gives two specific marks by which people can know, as well as prove to others, that they genuinely know the Lord God. Now let's take a look at this lesson today. It's entitled, again, Walking in Obedience and Love. I first of all want you to see the first mark that John specifies here, and that is the mark of obedience. The mark of obedience. I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2, We're going to begin here today in verse number 3. If you can, pull up the website there and the outline that's made available for you. You can print those outlines out, and I hope it will be a help to you. I want you to read along with me today as I read these verses, and we look at this thing, the mark of obedience. Now, the first thing I want you to see today is the criterion. The criteria. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, we read, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Now, if you go back in the first two verses of this chapter, John wrote about how that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, because of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. We looked at that last Sunday. John reminds us here that Jesus paid the debt that we owed for our sins in full. And in so doing, The book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 10, reminded us last Sunday that Christ's sacrificial death upon the cross satisfied God's wrath against all sin, both now and forevermore. Aren't you glad for that? Then John wrote in the first two verses of this chapter, saying, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now, boy, you just think about that a minute, folks. Jesus Christ is the propitiation, that which appeases God's anger against all sin, not only for our sin, but for the sins of the whole world. Thank God for that specific fact. But let me ask you this question. After a person gets saved, are there any marks of proof that show that we really do belong to Christ? I mean, after all, how many folks do you know who say with their lips that they are saved, but in their actions and deeds, they cause doubt among all who really know them? And it's for this reason that John continued in this epistle to identify certain marks, certain proofs that one really is saved and does indeed belong to Christ, which without these proofs, there would be no biblical evidence or proof of their claim of salvation. Now let's look at these marks this morning, all right? First of all, we see the criterion or that characterizing mark or trait that lets us, as well as those around us, know without a doubt that we truly are born again. And that first mark or that trait is the obedience to God's word. You see, knowing Christ as one's Savior and that one's sins have indeed been forgiven by God naturally produces a desire to obey the word of God. And this manner of living soon becomes evidence of one's right relationship with God through their personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If my children truly love me, then they will obey me. And the words of instruction I give unto them, they're going to try to do the best that they can to obey those instructions. And it's the same way with our willingness to obey the Lord Jesus Christ and his word after we get saved. Jesus said over in John chapter 14, verse 15, he said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And he went on in that same chapter, just a few verses down in verses 23 through 24, to say, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." You see, folks, how a person actually chooses to live while no one else is watching reveals exactly who they truly love and who they are choosing to obey. The false teachers and the accusers of doubt in John's day outwardly stated in dramatic acclaim that they loved God, but it was in their disobedient lifestyle and in their open rebellion against the word of God that they proved otherwise. John was not teaching some sort of sinless perfection in the life of a born-again child of God here, but I want you to understand he was reminding these folks in his day that the overall pattern for living ought to be one that is focused on serving and obeying the Lord who saved them simply because they love him enough to do it. No truly born-again child of God ever fell into the pattern of living a life in disobedience unto the Lord without first there having to be a willful choice to do so. And folks, when a truly born-again child of God willfully chooses to disobey the Lord God, not only will there be certain chastisement by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in that person's life, but there will also be the opportunity given for that born-again child of God to confess their sin and to show forth true repentance of that sin against God so as to have forgiveness and cleansing from that sin by the Lord God. Is that not what John wrote about in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, where it said, "If we say we have no sin, We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But not only is there a marked criterion for the truly born-again child of God, but in verses 4 and 5, John writes that there is also a contrast. Now, I want you to see this. 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I want you to see the contrast. Look at what he wrote. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now in these two verses, John notes that there are distinguishing contrasts between those who profess to know God and those who actually know God. Oh, how sad it is for folks to proclaim to know God without actually having a personal relationship with God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as we stated before, our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. And John makes it quite clear here in verse number 4 that he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And I want you to notice here that John did not say that a person comes to know God by doing good works or by obeying God's commandments, but rather that a person's works and their actions ought to be that proof that shows forth the evidence that they truly are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look again here at verse number 5, where we read, But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now, the faithful practice of obeying God's word, whether folks are watching or not, that is the evidence, and that's the proof that shows forth a changed life by the soul-saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only the sweet, indwelling Holy Spirit of God can help a person to be able to do that. This is, without a doubt, that fruit of the Spirit that was spoken of over in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where the Bible says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The set of contrasts that John puts forth here truly determines the difference between those folks who say they know and love the Lord and those folks who prove they know and love the Lord by their day-to-day walk and their talk for the Lord. Jesus warned over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. He warned the people there by saying, Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And just a few verses later in that same chapter, in verses 22 and 23, he states, Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then Jesus says, And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What sad works. Folks, works can never save a person. Good deeds and right actions can and never will be able to bring forth soul-saving salvation in a lost person's life. The truly born-again child of God is marked. They're identified. They're proven to be a true child of God by their consistent pattern of obedience to the Word of God on a day-to-day basis. And that does not mean that we're perfect. Oh, man, that we know that not to be true, do we not? But it does show forth proof of our love for the one who has saved us, as well as our desire to please him in all that we do. Listen, we should desire to know God's will for our lives. We should desire to submit our old carnal will unto God's perfect will. We should desire to obey God's standard rather than our own standard, so as to set forth a definite contrast between the life that we loved before we were saved and the new life in Christ now that we are saved. So we not only see in John's writing here the criterion for true believers and the contrast between true and false believers, but now, here in verse 6, he writes of the conclusion of the whole matter. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6. Here John writes, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whether you realize it or not, folks, every person born and living here on planet Earth lives by some sort of a standard that reflects what they truly believe within their heart and soul. Now, we have seen that in our recent elections in America, have we not? Some folks are just selfish, and they live only to please themselves and to suit their own selfish desires. Some folks choose only to impress those folks around them that can give them something in return that's worth their efforts of pleasing others. And some folks prove what is most important in their lives by simply trying to keep up with those folks around them and by trying to be like someone else who they see that has great wealth or fame or fortune. But folks, the truly born-again child of God lives by a different standard, do they not? They live not to please themselves and not to show themselves as being more important than anyone else around them or even in the same financial category as someone else they see and admire. But John writes here in verse number 6 that the truly born-again child of God actually proves in the life that he leads what he inwardly claims to believe. For as John writes, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Now the Bible teaches us over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. In other words, Christ Jesus was our divine and personal example of how to live for God after we have truly been born again. And as you and I follow Christ and his divine example, we consistently and we faithfully have that desire to walk in the obedience of his holy word. Obedience, folks, is not an option or some right that we have to obey or not to obey. But obedience is an obligation. It's a responsibility that you and I, as born-again believers, have to fulfill so that the world can see and know that we really are the children of God. Even as Jesus exhorted in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Look at these verses with me just a moment. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Jesus said there, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, our faithfulness to obey is actually our testimony of God's great work of salvation in our lives. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, describes how if one is not connected to the root, then there will be no real fruit. You need to take time and read those 17 verses. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. But you see, the sad problem is that many so-called born-again children of God have still never died to self in order to truly live for the one who saved them. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, he said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." It reminds me of an old saying, only two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. Oh, conqueror today, who are you serving? Are you serving self or are you truly serving God? You can't serve two masters, for either you'll hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Folks, the mark of obedience unto God that John shows us here in these verses, it sets forth a distinctive contrast between those who only bear leaves of profession and those who faithfully and consistently bear real fruit of possession. This is the mark of obedience that John sets forth here in verses 3 through 6. But now, in verses 7 through 11, John writes of that second distinctive specified mark, and that is the mark of love. The mark of love. You know, there is a mark of obedience, but it does no good to obey the Lord if you don't love the Lord. Listen, folks, there is a mark of obedience that should be evident in every born-again child of God's life. But folks, there's also to be a distinctive mark of love in our lives from day to day as well. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And now, John exhorts those fellow believers to whom he's writing that they need not only to obey the Lord from day to day, but they need to love others even as Christ loved them from day to day. Look at verses 7 and 8 here. Here we see the commandment that John gives. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, he writes, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment that ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." There is no doubt at all in my mind that John knew that the folks he was writing to here were indeed born again, because he addresses them here as brethren. But he wants them to understand the fact that what he is trying to teach them, they already are aware of. You got to remember, in John's day, there were so many false teachers that came in behind the man of God. They didn't have the written word of God like you and I have today. And these false teachers were coming in among those new believers, and they were trying to pervert the teachings that they had been given by the Apostle John. They were trying to mix truth with lies, and they were trying to deceive the people to follow men instead of following God. But here, John brings them back to the basic fundamentals of their faith in Christ and of the gospel itself. And that being that as Christ had so loved them, they were now in turn to love others in the same manner, with the end result being, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You know, many times, Christians speak of being saved, and they talk about knowing without a doubt that they're going to heaven when they die, and of how great their salvation truly is. But folks, there is more to the Christian life than mere words, so much more. God has saved us to be that preserving salt that's needed in a lost and dying world of sin. God has saved you and me to be lights to those who remain in darkness and who are stumbling around in the darkness of sin. We are not to live in such a way that we seem to be better than those who are still lost in their sin, but we are to live in such a way that each time we see those folks who are still lost among us, we remember the fact that the love of God was there and evident for us. And we stand in awe to consider the fact that were it not for grace, we could still be lost as well. So in all reality, our Lord's command to love one another is all part of God's plan for us to help reach the world to see the true difference between mere religion and a true relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you today, dear child of God, how many folks are you loving today, even as Christ so loved you? How many folks are you trying to love to the Lord Jesus? The command is for you and me to love the Lord, and in so doing, He will then help us to love others. Loving others to Jesus, that's what it's all about. But then we also see here in verses 9 and 10, point number B, the contrast. The contrast. John writes here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." Now, here again, John reminds those fellow believers to whom he is writing that it is so much more important to allow folks to see the proof of our salvation rather than just hear it from our mouths. Look at verse 9 and observe what John writes here. Look at it. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." In this verse, we see that if someone who claims to know Christ and says they're living in the light of God's word hates his brother, whether it be a physical brother or a spiritual brother, that man is still in the darkness of sin, and he is not walking in the light of the Lord God. Remember, folks, the true test of God's love is in one's life and in their love for others. Even as we saw back in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, and in previous verses there in 1 John chapter 2, if we truly love the Lord God, we're going to want to share that love with everybody we come in contact with. I never will forget, when I first got saved, I thought to myself, man, I am so glad I'm saved, but I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm just not going to tell. I'm going to keep it inside because everybody thinks I'm already saved, so it won't hurt just not to tell anybody. I know that I'm saved. God knows I'm saved, and that's all that really matters. But you know what, folks? The more I got into the Word of God, and I looked at my friends around me, and I thought to myself, boy, if they die, they're going to go to hell without Jesus. And who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell them how to be saved? And you know what? I couldn't keep it in. It was like God just unlocked a cork on my soul, and I had to start telling folks what Christ had done for me. Folks, this is what it's all about. God gave me a dose of the can't help it, amen? And I just couldn't help but want to go and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. But then as we read here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 10, John writes, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." You see, to love others is indeed that proof that we are abiding in the light of God's word. And notice what else he writes here. He said, "And there is none occasion of stumbling in him." In other words, if you are actively walking in God's light, then you're not going to willfully stumble over the devil's traps that have been strategically set for you in a dark world of sin. And I want you to remember this again. John here is not referring to us having sinless perfection or anything like that. But John is simply showing us that being faithful to walk in the light does indeed perfect and mature us as born-again children of God, so that we will not choose to willfully walk or go back into the darkness of sin. The bottom line is this, folks. Living and walking in the light of God's Word means that we will love others even as God so loved us. And loving others through Christ Jesus will keep us from stumbling in the darkness of sin. Now, I want you to look at the last part of this lesson here in verse number 11. Here we see the conclusion. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Folks, the proof of our love for God is not something that we simply keep to ourselves, but rather it must be seen by others. If we really do love God, we're not going to hate anybody. We're not going to hate other folks. We're not going to hate folks that's hurt us or caused us grief and pain. We're going to pray for them. We're going to feel sorry for them. We're going to be agonizing unto God for them. And John wanted his believers that he was dealing with to understand the fact that when a person truly loves God, he's going to love others the same way. And any lack of love or spiritual concern for others is simply proof that that person has not yet truly come to know and to love God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 sums it all up. John wrote there, he said, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, folks, as we conclude this lesson today, I want you to see how the Bible teaches us that God so loved the world. And this is the same type of love that you and I, as born-again children of God, are supposed to have for those around us as well. So, Conquerors class member, let me ask you something this morning. Are you walking in obedience and love this morning? Are you giving an impression that you love God? Or is your life offering proof of that love for God? If you're walking in the light, even as he is in the light, you can give proof to the world that Christ is really real and that his love for them is real as well. The Bible reminds us in Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Is there anybody taking knowledge of you today, Conqueror class member, that you have been with Jesus? Man, these verses say it all. Dear child of God, the world is looking at us today. But my question is, what are they seeing? You know, I'm reminded of an old story. We used this on our Sunday school bus back in North Carolina, and it was entitled Branded. Branded. Now, I want to read this story to you. It was written for boys and girls, but I want to just read it to you here this morning. It's entitled Branded. People know you are wearing some kind of a brand. You know, when a person is a drunkard, he has a brand on him. When you're a criminal, a bandit, or a bank robber, you have a brand on you as well. People know you for what you are. Years ago in the western states, when the cattle just roamed across the open prairies, there were very few roads and very few fences. In the early spring, when the mothers had their little baby calves, each farmer would go out and find their calves, and with a hot branding iron would brand their own calves. One rancher one day came to another man and he said, "Hey, you just put your brand on my calf." The other rancher said, "No, I didn't." The other man said, yes, you did, and I can prove it. How can you prove it? Said the other man. Let's let the calf go to its mother and see which brand the mother has, the man replied. Well, sure enough, the little calf ran right off to its mother, and the first rancher was right. The other fella had branded his little calf. So they had to change the brand and get the right brand on that calf, the brand of its rightful owner. Now, boys and girls, if you're a Christian, and if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to wear a brand so that people will know who you belong to. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He meant that there was something about his life that let people know that he was indeed a Christian. And you know, it's easy to say, I believe the Lord, when you go to Sunday school. But do you say that when you go out into the areas where you go from day to day? When you're out with the rest of the boys and girls or out with your parents and folks are swearing and using curse words and telling dirty stories and doing things they ought not do, do you show your colors then? If you're a real, real Christian, then you ought to show your brand. You ought to show who you belong to. You ought to show that you're real and that you're a Christian and stand out and stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It goes on to say, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now let me ask you today, are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus? Or do you wear the brand he has placed upon your life? If you're a Christian, I hope you do. But if you're not a Christian, I hope that you'll take time today to trust the Lord and become a Christian. Don't wait. Trust God today. Now, you know that little story I just read to you? It's a simple story, but it reminds us that we have been branded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, do you bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ in your body today, dear child of God? Is there proof that you belong to God? Is there a proof in your walk as well as in your talk from day to day? Oh, that we might love the Lord enough, not only to obey him, but to love others and let them know that God loves them. Father, we love you today. And I thank you, Lord, for this lesson. I thank you, Lord, for the fact of knowing that because you love us, we can in turn love you enough to obey you and to share the message of the gospel with others. I pray now, God, that you'll bless this lesson. And Lord, if there be anybody here today that's lost and listening to the sound of my voice, God, that you'll convict their heart and show them their need to be saved and help them, Lord, to come to you today. We love you, dear Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll bless the words of this lesson. Use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, we love you today. We thank you for being a part of our Conquerors Class online. I hope that if you're able to be at church today, you'll be there at 10:45, back again tonight at 6, and then on Wednesday night at 7. If you're not able to be there, tune in live at 10:45 at 6 p.m. tonight and at 7 p.m. on our church website. There you can watch the services live, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. God bless you. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and we look forward now to the coming Christmas season where we can glorify the Lord for giving us his great gift of salvation. We love you today, Conquerors. God bless you until we get to meet together again.